It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back in, everybody. Jacob Albrock, Tommy Caster, Jad Chambers producing for us. Glad to be here with you on this Thursday, on this Sports Daily Thursday. Royals fans celebrating hard. Crossing my fingers on a 200-to-1 Royals futures bet. In the spirit of that, let's bring in our betting insider. PJ Glasser joining the program. Glad to have PJ in with us each and every week. On the line, he's the host of Send It In, an Odyssey Sports betting insider, or officially PJ Glasser. Insider calls presented by BetMGM. Go check out all the latest lines today on the BetMGM app. Also, be sure to listen to the Send It In podcast for more analysis. Just search Send It In wherever you find those podcasts. PJ, welcome. How are you?
Doing good, guys. It's it was tough coming on the show today because I'm an Orioles fan, as you know. Yeah, I was at the game yesterday, so hearing all the Royals talk and it's just brutal the last 2 days. The Orioles had all those injuries to their pitching, and that was kind of what we were concerned about heading into October. Turned out the pitching was great. They just couldn't get timely hits. You knew when they couldn't capitalize with bases loaded and no outs yesterday, that was pretty much the season. But now that the O's are out, guys, I'm on the Royals bandwagon because at this point, just anybody but the Yankees, you know? So hopefully they can keep it rolling. That pitching that they have, the starting pitching, and then Urseg at the back of the bullpen's really good. So it's going to be nuts. I mean, the American League, the Orioles and the Astros are out. Three AL Central teams left. It's kind of crazy. So who knows what's going to happen? It feels like it's setting up nice for the Yankees, but man, the Royals and the Tigers are hot right now, as you guys know.
PJ, I'm feel bad for you because, you know, obviously you're an Orioles fan, but on top of that, we know you're a Ravens fan, and it didn't go so well in the opening football game with the Chiefs and the Ravens. Is there, I'm guessing there's quite a bit of hatred or dislike for Kansas City in Baltimore right now?
There is. We cannot beat you guys for whatever reason. KC just owns us. So, there's definitely some hatred there, some animosity. Because, you guys knocked us out of the ALCS in 2014, too. You swept us there. So you've had our number in baseball, obviously in football, too. Just the way that the Orioles season ended, there were so many expectations coming into this year with being a 100-win team last year and being the top seed in the AL. So the way that it all ended is disappointing. But look, the Royals got a really good team. Bobby Witt is a superstar. And, Q's a really good manager. They find ways to win games. And I can't wait to watch their pitching staff go up against the Yankees and obviously Judge and Soto, because, you know, in baseball, like being in the AL East, guys, there's something about Yankee Stadium, and you're going to find out a lot about your team, especially your pitchers and how they handle the pressure of the Bronx and just that stadium and the fan base. So I'm looking forward to watching the young Royals go up there to New York and seeing how they handle that.
Yeah, it'll be a blast, and I think you can still catch them at like 11-to-1 right now, but you kind of missed the window to bet the Royals and get that true value. Let's talk football, PJ. We'll start with Thursday night football because it's Thursday. It's a good one. Bucks, Falcons. I'm pretty intrigued by this game. It's a low total, which probably shouldn't surprise us, but it also is, you know, some teams that are capable, I think, offensively of getting there. The Bucks are 1.5-point dogs. Where do you start with this one tonight?
I'm looking at the under guys at 43.5, right? And you obviously have two teams that are pretty good on offense, but these Thursday night games, I mean, we see how ugly they've been already this season, right? The Giants and Cowboys was just gross football. Bills, Dolphins, even before Tua got hurt, wasn't very good either. So, I mean, you've had a bunch of these games that just have not been good. They've been ugly. They've kind of been one-sided. And usually on these Thursday night games, you just kind of lean towards the more talented team. Problem is, these two teams are pretty even, right? I mean, if you want to make the case of who's better, I think you can make an argument of Atlanta or Tampa. I certainly think the Falcons are probably the more talented team. But the Bucs are playing great. It looks like they've kind of picked up from where they were last year, making it to the playoffs and going into the divisional round. I would lean Atlanta in this game on the money line. They're obviously right there with the Chiefs. Could have won that game, pulled off a great upset against Philly. Maybe were fortunate to win last week against New Orleans. It feels like all their games come down to the wire. Honestly, guys, feels like a great game to do one of those teasers where you take the Bucs plus 7.5 and then you take the under 49.5. So you buy up the total 6 points, the Bucs side 6 points, because it just feels like a one score game that's going to be lower scoring. But if I had to make a, I would like the under. I'd look at Bijan over 3.5 receptions as well. I think he's going to be a factor out of the receiving game. Tampa's been a little susceptible to like running quarterbacks, and obviously Kirk Cousins isn't going to give you that. So I would look at some short intermediate stuff, maybe an extension of the run game to Bijan. So I like his look as well over receptions.
Is there a good quarterback prop play in this game, whether it's with Baker or with Cousins? Their yardage totals are not super high. I mean, somewhere, both of them are somewhere between 225 and 250. And then as far as passing touchdowns, the line is set at about 1.5 for both of them. Do you like either of those plays for either one of these quarterbacks tonight?
Yeah, honestly, not really, Tommy, because like you said, it is kind of a lower passing prop total. The touchdowns are both at 1.5. I don't want to touch that. I would look at interceptions, because I do like the under. I feel like it could be some sloppy play. There could be some turnovers in this game. So you can either take, one quarterback to throw an interception. I kind of like at BetMGM, there's a special of total combined interceptions with Cousins and Mayfield tonight over 1.5. At plus 120, I think that could be a look as well, because Vita Vea is back and he's healthy. So important to Tampa on defense and obviously clogging up the run. Maybe make Atlanta a little one dimensional. I think Cousins could maybe have an interception. Baker Mayfield as well. So I kind of like the total combined interceptions with the quarterback today, plus 120 over 1.5.
All right, let's look at the other games on the slate, and we'll save Monday Night Football for the end with the Chiefs. But we have interesting matchups up and down the board. Last week, it felt like, and I heard this a lot, and I felt it in my wallet, it felt like we broke through in the NFL a little bit. And I think for the most part, that's because offense has kind of opened up a little bit, which let everybody hit all their same game parlays, and the props were good, right? Do you feel like there's momentum in something like that when we've seen offenses bogged down a little bit? Should we look for more of that as we move forward? Maybe a little more offense, teams play less in the preseason, things like that. Are there trends there to take away?
I think it just depends, honestly. Jacob, I think what's been so shocking is obviously all the big upsets that we've had to start the year. I know, a lot of people out there, certainly a lot of the listeners, I'm sure, are in the NFL survivor pools. And I don't know if anybody's left at this point, just because of how well the big underdogs have been doing, not only against the spread, but outright as well. But like you said, we finally started to see some more scoring last week just because of the preseason now and the fact that it's shortened and it's a longer regular season and those guys aren't there. It does feel like the first 3 or 4 weeks are almost the preseason. And now that we're 4 games in, bye weeks are starting to hit. We're starting to get more data points on all of these different teams. So, I mean, look, Washington's a 3.5-point favorite against Cleveland this week. Like, imagine if I told you that to start the season. The Vikings are favored against the Jets on a neutral out in London. Imagine if I would have told you that before the season, right? So there are just so many things now that we kind of have more data points on all these teams that it necessarily won't make it easier to bet. But you can lean on more things throughout the year once we start getting to, the middle portions of the season that I think will be easier to handicap, more reliable trends and stuff for bettors to look at.
I want to focus in for a second on the Jets and Vikings in London on Sunday morning. The Jets are 2.5-point dogs. There's been some perceived friction between Aaron Rodgers and Robert Saleh. And then all of a sudden, Sam Darnold looks like one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. when it comes to betting and the different angles with a game like this on a neutral site overseas, does that change the way that you want to approach it because of the time change and all of that? Or do you just go at it like you normally would?
Usually, guys, I mean, the way these London games go are you usually just bet the better team straight up. I can't remember the exact stat, but it's something crazy. Like, I think the favorites out in London are like 36-10 straight up, or it's some big number like that where it's usually that simple. You take the favorite, you take the better team, you just bet them on the money line, and they just win the game when you go out international. The interesting thing about this is that the Jets in the look-ahead line before they lost outright to Denver and Minnesota had another great performance against Green Bay, the Jets were actually the small favorite in this game, which I think makes this such a fascinating handicap. Who's the better team? Is it the Jets or is it the Vikings? Minnesota's obviously had an incredible start to the season. They're undefeated. Darnold's playing great. Flores has been awesome on defense. I will say, though, look at the teams and the quarterbacks that Minnesota has played, right? I mean, you're talking about Brock Purdy, CJ Stroud, Daniel Jones, guys that are either young or not very good. Well, Flores now and Jordan Love last week. And now Flores and the Vikings have to go up against Aaron Rodgers, who's seen everything. You can't fool Rodgers. So that chess match between those two, I think, is going to be really good. I think it's a good spot for the Jets, guys. Just a bad home loss like that against Denver in the rain, ugly and sloppy. I would expect them to bounce back. Their defense has looked really good the last couple weeks. And look, it's a big game for them, right? Don't want to drop to 2-3. Minnesota obviously is undefeated. You would think there's some regression coming for them at some point. I lean towards the Jets. I like the under as well, though, 40.5. I think it is a lower scoring game. So I would look at the under, and I like the Jets plus the points.
Another big one, another one of the marquee games, and there are a lot of them this week. Bills, Texans, both not necessarily about outcome, but about the way they played last week. Feel like they probably didn't play very well. This feels like an opportunity for Houston. They're a home dog, which is pretty surprising that they'd be a home dog to anybody. But what's your take on that game?
I like the Texans as well, Jacob. You know, I think a lot of people just expect the Bills to bounce back, you know, against after that performance against Baltimore and just kind of flush out that game. Houston's 3-1 this season, and they're 0-4 against the spread, right? They're kind of Chiefs-like in the sense that they have a good record, but by no means have they played their A game, which is kind of scary for everybody else. I think Baltimore did some things last week that could maybe expose Buffalo on the defensive side of the ball. I think it's a good buy low spot on the Texans at this point. They're at home. Their offense is going to get clicking at some point. So I like Houston as well. This line has continued to flip-flop throughout the week from the Bills being favored to Houston being favored. Now the Bills have gone back to being favorite. So it's not one of my favorite bets, but if I had to make it, I do like the Texans at plus 100. Again, they're 0-4 against the spread this season. They're going up against one of the best perceived teams in the NFL, and it's essentially a pick 'em. I think a lot of people are going to be on Buffalo this week, but I like Houston.
Let's jump ahead to Monday Night Football, PJ. The Chiefs back at Arrowhead on Monday night against the Derek Carr-led Saints, which started off the season fantastic offensively. They've kind of declined. They've diminished quite a bit in the last couple of weeks. What do you like in the primetime matchup to wrap up this week?
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I like the over in the game, honestly, guys, at 43.5. Look, I feel like the last couple of years at Arrowhead, the unders have been extremely profitable. We obviously think of the Chiefs and we think offense, but it's just that's just not the way it's been in Kansas City. They've been lower scoring games. I think without Rashee Rice, though, this week, Travis Kelce got going a little bit against the Chargers. Like, this is kind of new territory for Mahomes and Andy Reid, right, with these injuries and trying to integrate new guys and find ways to kind of get clicking on offense. Mahomes has not been good to start this year. He's got 7 turnover-worthy throws, which is one of the tops in the NFL. So despite the Chiefs and how poorly they've been playing, especially on offense, they're 4-0, they're playing well. Saints offense for much of the season has looked very, very good. Derek Carr, as you guys know from his time with the Raiders, feels like he's always played the Chiefs pretty well, especially in Kansas City. Feels like he has good games. So I think we kind of get some points in this game. I like over 43.5. We were talking about the total against the Chargers last week and how you never see Chiefs totals under 40. I mean, you had so many turnovers in that game and just missed opportunities that it ended up going under the total. Again, it just feels like these numbers keep dropping and eventually we're just going to get a good kind of buy low spot on a total in a Chiefs game. I think we might get that this week. So I would look over 43.5 in Chiefs and Saints.
We've asked you specifics, PJ. Give us your favorite, though, bets of the NFL weekend.
Guys, I will, so some of my favorites. I love Cincinnati this week against the Ravens. I'll just continue to pile on my teams in Baltimore. But I think it's a great spot for Cincinnati. Look, the Bengals started the season 0-3, right? And everybody kind of left them for dead. And now all of a sudden, if they win this game, they're 2-3. They have the same record as the Ravens, and they have one head-to-head win over them. I've been talking about this on my show all week, too. The team that you've seen the last 2 weeks out of Baltimore, you're not going to see this week when they go up against Cincinnati. The Ravens the last 2 weeks were in must-win situations. And when they're in must-win situations, they lean on their bread and butter, and they run the football. They lean on Derrick Henry 20 to 25 times. They run Lamar Jackson. They don't really throw the ball all that much, and that's when the Ravens are at their best. But when they decide to throw, like I think they're going to do on Sunday against Cincinnati when they see a really bad defense on the other side, that's when they tend to get into trouble, when they forget about who they are. I've seen it so many times. You guys got to see in the AFC Championship game against the Chiefs when they completely abandoned the run. The total has dropped from 51.5 to 49.5 in this game too, which I think is telling you a lot, that even with how bad Cincy's defense is, the under keeps dropping. I like the Bengals plus the points against Baltimore. I also like the Raiders plus 3 against Denver as well. Broncos are coming off 2 big wins as big underdogs against the Bucks and against the Jets last week. Now they come home, and this is honestly just a fade of Bo Nix as a favorite. And we're getting a key number, low total of 36 in a divisional game. So I'll take the Raiders to keep it close. A little bit concerned about the whole Davante Adams thing and maybe how that's playing out in the locker room, but he didn't play for him last week. They ended up winning that game. I think they'll be okay this week too. I'll take Vegas plus 3 against Denver.
PJ, after a massive college football weekend last weekend with Bama, Georgia, and that instant classic and all of the other major matchups, it's kind of a breather of a weekend in college football. There's only one top 25 matchup on the entire slate for Saturday, and that's Missouri and Texas A&M. Are there games that you like? Are there good angles knowing that there aren't these premier major matchups?
There are, Tommy. Things I would look at this week are certainly some look-ahead spots, because even though the slate this week isn't great, guys, I don't know if you've had a chance to look at next week's slate. It's spectacular. Right? You got Ole Miss and LSU. You got Penn State and USC, Oregon and Ohio State. You got some heavyweight matchups. So certainly some look-ahead spots, thinking about which teams might not be necessarily treating their games this week all that much, not showing much on film, and then gearing up for next week. I think you got to fade Bama this week against Vanderbilt off of that just all-timer against Georgia last week. How are they not going to have a little bit of a letdown? Keep in mind, too, Vanderbilt this season, they upset Virginia Tech as 2-touchdown underdogs. They lost to Missouri by 3 points as 3-touchdown underdogs. That's a pesky team that can keep games close. I like them to keep it within the number against Bama. And then give me Northwestern plus the points against Indiana as well. Guys, I've been waiting to fade Indiana. They've been one of the biggest surprises of the college football season. You see it all the time, though, in this sport. Whenever a team is undefeated and finally becomes ranked for the first time, that is the time to fade them. They go on the road and play Northwestern, laying two touchdowns. So I'll take Northwestern to keep that game close, and Vanderbilt as well. And then like Iowa against Ohio State, maybe looking ahead to Oregon, and then potentially Minnesota against USC. Maybe the Trojans looking ahead to Penn State, a couple of good spots as well.
It's going to be fun. It's going to be another big betting weekend. PJ, we're glad to have you on board. I apologize for what Kansas City's been doing to Baltimore sports lately. Not really, but sort of. I feel for you. We've all been there. We get it. But hey, Royals are still dancing. Ravens will be
they
fine.
Are.
They'll be fine.
We all have our waves. Fellas, just beat the Yankees, all right? That's as long as you beat the Yankees.
We can all agree on that. Yes, yes, that is correct. Yes. No matter what you root for. PJ, we appreciate it. That's the host of Send It In, Odyssey Sports Betting Insider, PJ Glasser. Insider Calls presented by BetMGM. Go check out all the latest lines today on the BetMGM app. We'll do it again next week. Always appreciate PJ's insight. Always so good. So there it all is for you. If you missed any of it, by the way, if you're just joining us, you want to get some of that, PJ with a lot on the NFL and a little on college football there, you can, of course, go back and listen to that interview on the Odyssey app. It's easy. Odyssey app is such an awesome app and tool. All kinds of podcasts from all across the country. This show gets podcast on there, of course. So check it out if you don't have it. When we return on Sports Daily, our K-State insider, Tim Fitzgerald, is going to stop by. It's a bye week, a chance to regroup, sort of refocus a little bit. I think it's a good point in the season for the Cats to do that as well. We'll have Fitz in next. Don't go anywhere. It's Sports Daily on a Thursday.
In Odyssey Sports Station, this is 97.5 and 1240 KFH, KNSS HD2 Clearwater, Wichita's most listened to sports radio. It's
better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.